Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
When you are stressed out and you're in this divorce process, your brain is not thinking clearly at all times.
How do you keep up your endurance? Well, let's start with exercise. How not to suck at divorce. Welcome back to How Not to Suck at Divorce, a podcast designed to give you the do's and don'ts during your divorce process, and hopefully will make you laugh as well.
Exactly right. I'm Morgan Stogstill, and I'm a family law attorney in Chicago.
And I am Andrea Rappaport. I am not a family law attorney in Chicago. Morgan just found me on the internet.
Totally. Because that's where I find all my friends, right?
I don't know. That's what the script says, Morgan.
Totally. I mean, you find me on the internet.
Oh my God. All right. Potato, potato. Look, we were both surfing on the internet for friends. We came up, we found each other, and the rest is history.
I agree with that. I mean, I follow you on Instagram. Everybody follow Andrea on Instagram. And yes, she's funny, but more importantly, she's incredibly transparent, more than most. And about a year and a half ago, she started opening up on Instagram regarding her feelings about going through her own divorce. And I was really captivated by this. And that's truly why we're here today.
That's nice. Thank you. Yes, that's true. And guys, I found that once I started talking, it just poured out of me. And I felt like it was really important to tell the truth. So not just showing yourself as a victim in this whole thing, but to actually own responsibility and how you got to this place. So that's what I do. My page is a great little mix of ridiculous tweets and memes about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and little truths about my life.
So let's do this. This episode of How Not to Suck at Divorce is dedicated with ways, or on ways, I should say, to cope with the divorce and the stress that you will receive and feel during the process, right?
Right. So, okay, we all know, and if you're listening to this podcast, that means that there's a good chance you are going through a divorce or you're about to. So you're feeling it. It is not easy, and you'll hear 100 million times that it is a marathon, not a sprint. So how do you keep up your endurance? Well, let's start with exercise. Here's why exercise is important beyond the obvious benefits. Exercise is something that we all should be doing regularly, and a lot of us do, right? You have like your regular class, you go for a run, you're lifting weights, you're doing videos from YouTube or a streaming service, whatever it is, you have something that you're doing, right? Here's the thing. When you go through a divorce, It rocks your entire world, and it also rocks your schedule because this divorce can become all consuming. So we want to talk about exercise first, because by doing something that's positive for your body and for your mental health every day, or at least a few times a week, you're keeping something consistent in your life, and you need that. And it sounds so silly, but there's a mind-body connection. We know that. There's something about regularly moving your body and telling yourself, like, no matter what's going on in the world and in my life, I'm going to do my workout. You need something to stay the same. I mean, that does that make sense to, like, Morgan, to you, or is that just me kind of rambling here about exercise?
No, I think it makes total sense. But the funny thing about you and myself is that we have different reasons of why I think exercise is so important during a divorce process. And I agree with you, it's so important. I say make it a priority, schedule it, et cetera. And sometimes I even have clients say, well, you know, I know you want to speak at this time, but I have my workout. Should I cancel it? I never say cancel that workout to speak with me. And here's why. When you are stressed out and you're in this divorce process, your brain is not thinking clearly at all times. In fact, when you're super stressed out, it takes about 20 minutes to get your brain back to normal functioning activity when you're at that peak. So here's the thing. What does exercise do? Well, guess what? It's proven to increase cognitive function and health. So for me, as your divorce lawyer, when you're making really big decisions, I need your cognitive function and health up there as high as it can be. So sometimes what I say is, even if I feel like a client's stressed or isn't functioning well, or maybe it's just not a good day, I say, go take a walk around the block for 20 minutes, call me after that. So that's so important. It's important to make big decisions when you're feeling right.
Right. Because to your point, like, there's so much going on. There are so many details and facts swirling around our minds, not to mention the emotional stuff that goes with it. So you can probably tell when you're talking to a client if they're not fully with it, if they're not focused, if they don't have the capacity in that moment to absorb what you're telling them. And this is like a big deal. Like, the stakes are high. If you're having a conversation with a client, then it means that you're talking about something of relative importance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of times, you know, we've talked in other episodes about mediation or things like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of times mediation can be long days, and there's a lot of stress that comes and goes during that time. And in the middle of it, I'll just say, hey, let's get up. We're going to go walk. We're going to walk and talk. And it immediately brings somebody back down to functioning properly, right?
Mm-hmm. I am a big fan of walking and talking. I actually remember, I don't know who this was. It was some kind of relationship coach or counselor or somebody I had at one point in my life, or I don't know. I don't even remember where this came from. But anyway, at some point I heard somebody suggesting that when you're in an argument, instead of standing in the room where the argument started, to go out with your partner and walk and talk it out while you're walking.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that I can't tell you that I've ever done that, but I should. But I know that I really love brainstorming and walking. I know that if I'm working on something for work or whatever I'm doing, that I will oftentimes say, like, hey, can we go for a walk and talk? Because there's something, again, it's that mind-body connection. So basically what we're saying is, however you're doing it, make sure that you're still moving your body, especially on those days when you do not want to, on those days when you do not want to peel your body off the couch because you feel paralyzed by what's going on, get off the couch. Get off the couch. Even if you go right back to that couch when you are done walking around the block, fine, but walk around the block. Do something to move your body because it is so important. And again, going back to the consistency of, like, having something regular, this is something that I found to be really helpful, is just to keep a schedule, because I know that for me, it felt like for the however long I was going through my divorce, that was my job. Like, it was part of my identity. was getting a divorce. And that's such an icky part of an identity. It's not a good feeling. So I really needed to have other things that I did so that I felt, so my divorce wasn't my life. So exercise,
love,
people.
Love it. Do it.
The next thing that I want to talk about, and if you thought the exercise was silly, then buckle up. I highly, highly recommend that you have a TV show that you watch an episode of every night. Hear me out. For me, watching a show at night was a really great way to help my mind turn off and for me to relax before I go to bed. If you're not a TV person, fine. Read a chapter of a book. I personally don't like reading, but if you like reading, you know, whatever. Or if you like listening to podcasts, listen to a podcast. However, I would not recommend listening to a podcast like our podcast before bed. Listen to something that has nothing to do with your divorce. Listen to something that is just sheer entertainment. If you are into the murder whodunits, listen to that. If you want something frivolous, listen to that. If you like, I'll just tell you all, for me, watching episodes of House Hunters every night, especially House Hunters International, totally helped me zone out. And it was a ritual. I knew, like, it was like the time of night, whatever time it was, I put down my phone. I was done with my phone for the night. I was done thinking. I put on an episode, and that was like my way of like helping me unwind. And I would tell myself, like, okay, this is it. Even if that meant, like, there were nights where I cried as I watched the show. And it wasn't because I found the episode of House Hunters moving in any way. It was just that there was stuff that needed to like come out, but it was the way that I like let myself stop. Because again, these divorces are all consuming. There will be so many things that are swirling around your mind. And at some point you've got to stop emailing your divorce attorney. Like, tell yourself, like, past 9:30 p.m., 10 p.m., whatever it is. Okay, now I'm done. This can wait until tomorrow morning. It's probably not an emergency. I'm going to zone out.
Agreed.
That's how I feel, right?
Agreed. Yeah, I think that those are really great ideas. I think it's important to put the phone down for sure. If you don't put the phone down, your mind never shuts off. Mm-hmm. You may not like books, but a non-thinking book, you know, something super light, not in-depth, not emotional whatsoever. That's helpful. And if you really want to feel like a grandparent, then I really suggest putting on some piano music. I know it sounds so ridiculous, but there's something about it that brings down stress very quickly. So if you're feeling that like fuzziness in your head, put on your grandparents' piano music and roll with it.
Yep. Any kind of classical music, actually, just any kind of music where there aren't lyrics. Will really help, like, really. And not like, I find like not jazz, because that, like, the melodic lines in jazz kind of make you a little crazy, but like classical music, piano, there is something about that that really does. It helps to like slow down your breathing.
Mm-hmm. It zens you out.
It really does. And then obviously with that, meditation, yoga, all those things, if those are things that work for you, do it. I mean, I feel like the yoga meditation, I think, are like more the obvious go-to. So I'm trying to list things that aren't so obvious to do. So that's where we kind of, that's what inspired this episode, are things that you might not think of. Something else that was really, really helpful to me, and this might sound obvious, but it's not for a lot of people, is talking about what is going on. For a lot of us, even when things are not fine, you say, I'm fine. What's going on, Andrea? Nothing. Everything's good. Really? How are things with the divorce? Fine. What? It's not fine. There's nothing fine that you just say that. Now, I'm not saying you run around town telling everybody everything. I'm not saying that you change your Facebook status to be a laundry list of everything that's going on. Please don't do that. But you got to find a way to talk about some of the stuff. you have so much that will be going on in your mind. You've got to share it. However, keep in mind that as you are going through this tumultuous time, your good friends are going through it with you. So I'm telling you to share, but be mindful that you cannot dump all of this on one person because you will wear them out. They will run away. It won't work out well for any of you, which I'm sure, like, I mean, Morgan, like, have you, I'm sure we've all had that happen, even if it's not divorce related, where like a friend is going through something and you're there to support them, but you're like, oh God, again, like right, every right. time they call, you're like, girl, I don't have time for this shit today.
Right. You have like anxiety when you see them calling.
Right. Cause you're like, oh my God, it's going to be more bad news, more of the same. And you feel for them. You're so sorry that they're going through it, but you're like, I cannot take that on.
Right.
So what I'm saying is you got to talk, but kind of be mindful of who you're sharing what with. You got to kind of spread the love, like give a little bit to this person, give a little bit to that person. Make sure that as you're talking and sharing, that you don't become a selfish animal and only talk about your problems. Keep in mind that your friends who love you, they're not going through a divorce, most likely. They've got other things going on in their lives. Try to remember their children's names and maybe from time to time, ask them about those children and how their tennis lessons are going or whatever else is going on. Don't be that person that only talks about themselves because nobody will like you. And then lastly, I want to mention that if you're going through a head over heels, horrible divorce, you might want to look at joining a support group. And I know a lot of people hear the phrase support group and think like, nope, not for me. Thank you so much. Goodbye. They can be really helpful. I have a lot of clients who have used divorce support groups and just found it to be a really good place to talk about what's going on. I think that you feel that your thoughts and emotions aren't crazy. A lot of your stuff will be validated and it can be very helpful. So
another idea is to do something new. Mm-hmm. So learning always helps you focus on something else. So ideas for you, join a class, mm-hmm. learn something you've never done before. What exactly would that mean? Well, let's talk about it. Learning different languages. I've had clients do that while they're going through a divorce. It keeps their mind fresh, keeps them excited about something. I've had people learn musical instruments, get certified as a Pilates instructor, yoga instructor. I've even had 49 to 50 year olds start playing hockey and learning the game of hockey during the divorce. Sounds crazy, but learning something new during a really tumultuous time will be very helpful.
Yeah. And, you know, and something that you just said that's interesting is you mentioned how learning a new language keeps your brain sharp. Going through a divorce is not a time to lose brain cells. You want to stay as sharp as possible. So anything that you can do that keeps your mind going just for this period of time, do it. And I mean, so for me, guys, so I got divorced this past year, which was during the pandemic. So there weren't a whole lot of options as far as new things that I could do. I guess I could have learned a language. Spoiler alert, I did not. But I perfected my English. But, you know, there weren't really a lot of hockey leagues that I could join, although I tried. I tried so hard to join a hockey team. But I wish there were more ways for me to socialize this past year because it was isolating and not fun. So even if it's something that's out of your comfort zone, do it. It's probably good. You'll grow even more as a human, which divorce will make you grow. So do that. I think it's all good stuff. Have you had your clients do anything else that you found like initially to be like a little bit like not odd, but kind of like, oh, never thought of that as something that you would do, but like it ended up really helping them? Or did they mainly stick to like the sports or.
Actually, one of the things that somebody did that I thought was a little odd at first, but then I kind of started to come around to it was, you know, you're in this stressful situation and my client joined an improv group and learning comedy during the divorce. And so we couldn't schedule anything around this comedy class and then was putting on shows. I mean, doing comedy. It just seems so nonsensical, but it really helped the client to get through it.
I'm laughing because for those of you who don't follow me or know what I do, like I grew up in the comedy space and I am a Second City graduate from like 2003. And I'm thinking back to the people I worked with and I feel like I could just picture someone in there like, yeah, I'm going through a divorce. Like, just be like, oh, cool. I mean, I don't think I had anyone like that that I came across, but I can just picture someone that's like, yeah, I heard it was a little bit funny. So here goes nothing.
But it's kind of genius if you think about it. I mean, at first I'm thinking, oh, this is really odd, but it's kind of genius because.
But hey, the material, they probably have lots of things to talk about. So why not? Jesus.
Good laughs, you
person
know?
Person after my own heart, which actually ties into one of the last points that I wanted to make, which is you have to find a way to laugh. You have to find a way to have fun. The days when you feel like you cannot access that emotion are the days that you probably need it the most. It is so important to just feel, how do I explain it? It's like, you guys, you know, when you're feeling really upset, like really, really upset, there's that lump in your throat. There's that pit in your stomach. It's almost nauseating how bad you feel, right? And then you know that other feeling of that incredible high where you are laughing so hard that your stomach hurts and you think that you can't catch your breath because you are laughing so hard. We need that in our day. Even if we don't laugh hysterically every day, you need those moments where you at least have a giggle, a chuckle. First of all, I love the word chuckle, but you need it. Does that like, it's just something. And I know like this is coming from the funny girl. And I like, for me, laughing has always been my favorite emotion. Sometimes it's been a defense mechanism, but I do really find that it's important. It's important just to get rid of that yucky energy with something totally different.
I agree totally. And you know, that's one of the things that I like to do with my clients is figure out something that we both think may be funny and make some jokes, joke around. There's a time and place for it. But I also say, hey, when was the last time you actually really laughed? I've said it a lot of times. And if it's, I don't know, then I usually recommend, I say, just go on Netflix, find a funny stand-up comedy, watch it before you go to bed. Laughing can be sometimes the best medicine.
Totally. Totally. I mean, I can tell you that there were days in my divorce that like the craziest things happened, like not funny, like unfunny, crazy things. And I remember trying to joke around with my attorney because that was my go-to. Like, that's what I wanted to do when something just was so unsettling. And my attorney wasn't really having it. There wasn't any kind of joking going on. And I needed that. So guys, again, this kind of goes back to what we talked about a while back is finding the person who's the right fit for you. If you're like me and you need someone who can take a joke and is willing to joke around with you, then, I mean, obviously you can't ask your, you know, attorney to be like, do you have a sense of humor? Let me run a few jokes by you. Let's see what you find funny, but you can usually kind of tell. So just keep this in mind. And I'm not saying only hire an attorney who can tell a good joke. No, your attorney does not need to be your friend, but just, you know, again, you're in a long-term relationship with this person, like it or not. So, you know, as you're talking to different people, kind of keep in the back of your head that this is somebody you're going to be exchanging a whole lot of emails with, a lot of phone calls with, some Zoom sessions with, possibly face-to-face stuff. And this is the person who's going to be giving you good news, some really bad news, some really, really bad news possibly. And you want someone whom you can joke around with, if that is something that's important to you. So all stuff to keep in mind. There are other things that you can do too, to release that energy. You can have dance parties in your kitchen. I'm a big fan of that. You can share memes on social media, go out for a few drinks, make some prank calls, whatever. Just do something, because you have to feel like yourself again. It's so important, because I mean, I am speaking from personal experience. You feel like you lose yourself a little. That's just inevitable, because you probably haven't gone through a part of your life like this before, where the person whom you stood up in front of your friends and family and said, like, you know, I will love you forever, blah, blah, blah. Now you guys are tearing each other apart, exchanging unpleasant emails, fighting over things that you never thought you would fight over. It's just not fun. And after a while, it does make you feel bad. You start to judge yourself. You start to question everything, and you got to stay focused. And for me, a big part of staying focused was having moments where you just released. So if I can help and offer a little bit of that release in your day, well, that's what I'm here for. So that's one of the big reasons why I started my account on Instagram, was I wanted a place where people could come to just laugh. When I started my account, I actually wasn't going through my divorce yet. I was just coming out of some really bad postpartum anxiety. And I talked a lot about that. I still do. I talk a lot about anxiety, because it turns out it wasn't just postpartum. Who knew? So I talk a lot about that. I talk a lot about the divorce, and I share some funny stuff that's not always created by me. I share tweets and memes that my really funny, talented friends share and created, because that's important to me. And I hope that you'll laugh, because I can't stress enough how important it is to have those moments in the day where you feel like you're going to pee your pants, and not just because you have a bladder problem.
Exactly. And that's exactly why we close our show with funny stories, right?
Our favorite part of the day. My God, I can't tell you how much better I find recording this episode as opposed to recording that last one about the freaking parenting agreement. Jesus. Jesus. Okay. Let us see what our internet friends have for us today. So, we're talking all about hobbies, things that you can do during a divorce to distract or entertain yourself. So let's read some of the things that our friends from around the world are doing. I will start.
Go ahead.
One of my good friends in Thailand have started to hand carve flowers out of soap, and they sell them at night markets.
Seems exciting. One of my good friends, I think from Florida, suggests wearing sexy clothes.
They're always from Florida.
Uh-huh. Sexy clothes or eating as something that, yeah, can lift your mood.
Eating?
Eating.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I didn't realize that was a hobby. Well, last time I was in Japan, I attended this really riveting bug fighting tournament. And this actually originates in Japan, my friends. So bug fighting, as expected, it's where various insects are put into a small plastic arena to battle it out. Just so you guys know, these fights are recorded and you can watch them online. So if you're not into bug fighting yourself, you can watch them and then maybe one day get a very own fighting bug of your own.
So here's some other ideas to lift your mood, just in case you were wondering, what could I possibly do? You could have a baby per the internet. That's what they say to lift your mood.
Mm-hmm. I've always thought about that.
Another thing is just be alone. That's one of the things on the internet, how to lift your mood.
Speaking of going through a divorce, here's somebody who is tattooing vehicles. Okay, what? Get a life. Here's someone who made an entire hobby. This is actually hilarious. If you look at these pictures, it's a guy in the UK who's made an entire hobby of photo bombing, but it's really like video bombing. So he finds when like correspondents, like journalists are reporting like the news, like out and about, and he stands behind them. That's all he does. His name is Paul Yarrow. And he says he takes part in what he calls news bombing. He has been seen on the BBC, ITV, Channel 4, and Sky News in random locations at random times.
Poor Paul may need a life.
Oh my God. He says, this is what he's quoted in saying. He says, I stand in the background to make a serious point about these broadcasters only allowing attractive people on screen. And in case anyone is wondering, Paul, my dear friend, is not attractive. So there you go, Paul. Man, good Paul. See, that's
the point of these podcasts, right?
That's exactly, because whatever you do, you guys, don't be like Paul.
That's our theme here. Don't go crazy. We're always in a divorce process teetering between I'm okay and I'm really crazy. So listen to this podcast and make smart decisions. That's exactly why we're here.
That's what we're here for. Changing lives, changing lives. I'm just picturing like Morgan, like you being interviewed at some point and I'm just like standing behind you.
Some crazy lady behind me, not saying a word. Yeah. So guys, if you want to hear more, find me on Instagram at Divorce Attorney Chicago. I share a lot of helpful content on divorce, and I would love to be a part of your support team, even if it's just on social media. If you ever need anything else, feel free to reach out to me directly. I would love to help you.
That's right. And guys, keep in mind, as horrific as this process feels, it is not your forever. Believe me, it will end one day. And things will be so much better on the other side. And in the meantime, find me on Instagram at the Andrea Rapoport.
So here's to the other side. You've got this.
And we've got you. This is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
See you guys next time. Bye.